I don't miss old Dubai because old Dubai still exists and I'm connected to that old Dubai. I keep going back to it with much nostalgia and but I'm happy also about how Dubai has evolved. I love new Dubai as well. So that combination for me and discovering the development of this phenomenal emirate, it's like no other in the world, I believe. Like, I think that it might be a model for other cities, but in itself, it is really a vanguard.
Welcome to the Fail Forward podcast, where Dan and Adnan peel back the onion on our guest stories and on each other, all in an effort to change the narrative of failure. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Fail Forward podcast with Adnan and Dan. Today's guest is Yasmin Salam. Welcome to the pod, Yasmin.
Otherwise known as Pink Taxi Runner.
I love it.
My alias.
Yes.
I love the fact that you've got an alias as well, the Pink Taxi Runner. In fact, Yasmin, why don't you tell us a bit about why you're called the Pink Taxi Runner? What a great way to start.
Okay, so I've been a pink taxi ever since my 22-year-old son was born, and I got so busy taking him around town, and then came two other siblings, and I've been a pink taxi ever since. I don't just run every single street, but I actually, you know, roam around Dubai driving my kids to their activities. So that's why.
That's awesome. Well, Yasmin, why don't you tell us a little bit about initially your story of what brought you to Dubai, but then also what got you started on this audacious, exciting, and to be honest, like pretty cool goal that you have.
So Dubai is home, and my grandfather used to live here, which means I'm a third generation Dubai resident. And I've been living here since 1974, which was not my birth date, but I was born in 1970. Therefore, I grew up in Dubai and then went, studied in Switzerland, the United States, and came back to Dubai. And therefore, I have actually seen Dubai grow. And this project came about because an athlete in America called Ricky Gates ran San Francisco in a month and a half or so, but he's an athlete and I'm an amateur runner. So I used to go and seek different haunts in Dubai, like go to Jumeirah, what is it called? JBR. I used to go to the creek. I used to go to Mishrif Park. And I'd always look for a different place. So I'm not the typical I run in my own neighborhood type. And I don't like to run in circles on a track. So when I heard that this runner was doing this project in San Francisco, I considered doing it, slept on it for a day and decided, I was like, yeah, I can do this. And that's how it all started. And when I started, I didn't have any far out goal. I didn't know when I would finish. I just said, I'm going to try. And the project in itself developed into so much, into an experience. In fact, I would say an education, because a degree usually takes 4 years and I'm 4 years into it.
Wow. 4 years. This has become more of a lifestyle than achieving a goal now. Would you say, Yasmin?
I try not to make it too much of a lifestyle, because if I'm going to start concentrating on every detail, I try to be very flexible. So when I was discussing with you today about running in your community, I said, listen, your community is open. I have barely ran in it just take me wherever you want. I don't want to be like, oh my God, no, we have to do this route on that. And so that's why I tend to do that on my own. I have to plan a lot, but I mix and match, and I try to really make it a relaxed lifestyle. So it's not, I'm not going by any rules. It has to be fun.
Yes.
Yasmin, what I find super cool is the fact that, like you said, you've seen Dubai grow for almost just under 40 years, right?
Yeah.
I just, out of pure curiosity, want to know what Dubai was like back then, how it's changed now, what you like more, but also what you miss about old Dubai.
So I don't miss old Dubai because old Dubai still exists and I'm connected to that old Dubai. People who miss old Dubai have disconnected from it, have moved out of it, have moved to the more modern Dubai and have forgotten old Dubai. Whereas I keep going back to it with much nostalgia but I'm happy also about how Dubai has evolved. I love new Dubai as well. So that combination for me and discovering the development of this phenomenal emirate, it's like no other in the world, I believe. Like, I think that it might be a model for other cities, but in itself, it is really a vanguard.
That's a great way to put it. It's like having spoken with you recently at the pop-up event that we did, and you kindly, you know, told your story to all the runners about what you're doing. I got such a sense of you being immersed into every single run that you go on. I mean, you only have to go through your Instagram stories, Pink Taxi Runner, and there's just photos of you just in so many different locations, just smiling, meeting new people, a different story for every single run that you've done and places you visit. It's extraordinary. I mean, there's so many things about it that there's just not many people that have done anything like this. And I just think it's fascinating. The amount of stories that you must have from all these runs. And are there any stories that stand out for you in particular that, you know, from any one of these runs that you've been on where you've
There are so many of them. And in fact, I have to keep going back to the neighborhoods. And it doesn't mean that if I have to go back, that even though it's something super familiar that I know by now, that I don't experience something new and novel. On the top of my mind, I can't remember of anything right now. It will pop up. But the funny thing is, with my friends and family, they don't even ask me anymore. I come home and they don't ask me where I was. They don't ask me what I saw because it's too many stories. It will like crowd in the day with my stories. So I'm really happy that I've actually documented it. At first, I wouldn't do videos, but I even do videos. Oh, so here's one example is me coming up. I was in the middle of Sports City on Al-Fay Street. So that is between Jumeirah Golf Estates and Victory Heights. There it, and JVC, Jumeirah Village Circle, and Jumeirah Triangle. By the way, it's so difficult to remember all these neighborhoods. And right there in the middle is a highway, 6 lanes that they haven't opened yet till this day. And I just had to. So I jumped over the barrier and I had that day, I had a Kenyan run, which is a super technical run where you run 5 minutes at this pace, then you mix in 3 minutes of this, and then you you ease into a jog and then you do a sprint of 15 seconds. But like, it was all on my watch, so I knew what I was doing. But I just flew on that 6-lane highway thinking, this is all mine. That feeling, by the way, one thing about running every single street is I feel ownership. My streets, my neighborhoods. They might be your neighborhood or Adnan's father's neighborhood, but they've become my neighborhoods as well. Because I own it. I know your neighborhood more than you know it.
That gives me goosebumps, just you telling that story. Really?
And the attachment towards it. I get attached. I get attached to neighborhoods I never liked. No matter, because I keep going back and I discover and I give it a chance.
I mean, for anyone listening now that hasn't been to Dubai, doesn't know really too much about Dubai, when Yasmin talks about a 6-lane highway, these are huge, huge highways. And I could just see you doing your Kenyan run, your sprints, and your with a massive smile on your face, thinking
cars on the highways that are open on the other side.
Goodness, so cars are racing past as well. But you that sense of that sense of freedom still. That's just you and the road, and
right. And by the way, people have seen me run. So I haven't seen people, but people who know me have seen me and have called me later or have told my brother, I think I saw your sister the other day in my hood or something. It's funny. Or people are like, what are you doing here? You know, do you live here? Like, no. And then to go and explain to people what I'm doing, that's the funnest part. It's like I have a story.
You certainly do. And in fact, talk to us a bit more about your family. And because you're such a family lady. I've met your brother and I've met your auntie recently. And you've got such a strong connection with your family. I mean, talk us through when you first started this goal and, how they've supported you. And just tell us a bit about that.
Well, I have a large family living in Dubai, and for that I'm very fortunate. And by that I even have extended family. I have cousins, I have aunts, I have uncles. I have because my grandfather came here, so he brought the whole family. And a few of us have left, but many of us just chose Dubai as our home. And so I do get support. I've had my uncle bike on Al Qudra while I was running. I've had my brother run in Production City or at Dubai Hills. I've had my parents walk with me because I also walk the streets. And so I save some of the loveliest neighborhoods so that I can take my parents along and we go walking. So we've done Media City, we've done Marina, we've done Emirates Hills, the lovely, luxurious Emirates Hills, and because they have friends so that they can get me in. kids have done a few O's. So I have my daughter. My daughter is a runner like me, and during COVID, she was 15 then. She's now a almost 18-year-old in university in London, but she was a triathlete at the time. And she had planned at the age of 15 to run a half marathon in San Diego. So we were training for it. And since I was doing a project, she would assist me with some of the streets. She loves Arabian ranches. So we did most of Arabian ranches together. And then lockdown happened. And so we trained in the garage, which has ramps. So it has like 6 ramps because I live in a high rise. And so we would run up and down at distances of like 12 kilometers because she was training to do a 21. And obviously, you know, there were no planes for San Diego and that was canceled and the world was on standstill. So we called Dubai police and we asked them for a special permission. We said, you know, we've trained for 9 months for this half marathon. Can we please run at night so that we, you know, the restrictions, etc. Can we please run some streets in Dubai? And they gave us a police permission. So my daughter and I allowed her again. So here's my flexibility. I told her, here's my map, choose. So she went, she chose the Dubai Canal area and the beautiful Umm Sukaym, lovely streets. And we ran 21 kilometers during, you know, April of 2020. So that's one story of support, but mutual support. I was supporting her. I ran her 21K with her. And it's unforgivable. I mean, unforgettable that that I actually got to run. Like, even though now my streets are all purple on my map, with my own eye, I can see that route. I can see her 21. It will always remain highlighted in that map. So I have stories for every detail on that map, really. And that's one of them.
Yes, I mean, as a fellow runner, like, it's probably the most fulfilling bonding experience to run, not only run with your daughter, but to like feel that she experienced everything you felt. Like, I'm purely imagining, oh yeah, that hill that killed me, didn't it kill you too? And then you relate on shared.
We don't have suffering. Many hills in Dubai. We run our hill repeats elsewhere.
Yeah.
Dubai is luckily sorry, that quite ramp. Bad, but yes. But by the way, speaking of hills, I actually run Hatta because Hatta is part of the Emirate of Dubai. You see, I'm not running the city of Dubai. Some people think when, especially when you tell people who don't live in Dubai that you're running Dubai, so they think, oh, Dubai, the city. They don't think the desert. They don't think Hatta Mountains. If it is a road in Hatta, so I'm not actually doing, you know, off trail running because it's not a street, but I'm running hills of Hatta. So I'm running an elevation in Hatta, and we have bridges in Dubai that have elevation. So those are hills as well.
Mm-hmm. I think you're one, if not the only person in Dubai and the general region of Dubai that knows how every road is in terms of runability, in terms of view, in terms of maintenance. Do you or have you ever done, I don't know, something that assesses or provides a review of the optimal and least optimal running routes in Dubai?
That's a good question, because sometimes I feel that when people ask me, so where should I run? I've had friends visit Dubai and they're like, you know, the person to talk to is Pink Taxi because she's run every single street. I base my answers on my past experience. I tell them, go run on the beach, go run by the creek, go run in Mishraf Park, or go run around the canal, because those are the places runners want to run. But I run industrial areas. I run arteries. I run residential places that are guarded and that I have to like get through security one way or another. So no, I cannot tell runners where to run because I run the most eccentric run routes.
How does it make you feel, Yasmin, as well, when you're running in these communities, often alone, as a female runner, which a lot of runners, not just female runners, in certain communities and cities around the world that wouldn't be able to do what you do. How do you feel when you're out running on your own at certain times of day and night?
So the first year was the most intimidating because I didn't have experience. And I was most intimidated by Al-Quds because that's what I knew would be intimidating. I thought, okay, so there are lots of labor accommodations there, and it's very industrial and dusty, and it's all men, and I was super intimidated. I remember I used to drive ahead of time to get to know the place, so to familiarize myself with it. And I said, you know what, I'm going to get Alcoz out of the way. So I think the first winter, that's all I ran was Alcoz. I just wanted to get that out of the way. And yet I realized that if I'm running at a certain time when it's quiet, which is between 5 and 7 in the morning on average, sometimes 4:30, sometimes until 8:30, depending on how long the runs are, people are just waking up, coming back from work because they're night shifts, of course. And it's quiet and people are just sitting and drinking tea and having their breakfast and they're chill and they look at me, they're surprised, and I tend to be a bit, I think my heart rate goes up because I feel like I'm in an unusual place and I'm not necessarily relaxed and I always have to be on guard. I always have to think about my safety. I can't get lost. I can't look lost. I have to have that confidence where I know where I'm going and it's well studied. But then I get used to it. And so it's, you know, one should always be on alert and one should always be careful as a female, I would say, even as a runner. And also most important is I'm careful of traffic. So I wear very bright colors. I make sure, I mean, it doesn't look good in pictures. I'm always wearing these synthetic fluorescent yellow shirts. You know, I look like a construction worker myself, but this is part, it's not a fashion show, you know, so I'm out there to run safely. And I also don't run with music in my ears. I run with music out loud, which I make quiet if I feel that it's, you know, capturing someone's attention and I don't want to be part of the attention. So I just run without music, but safety is always comes first. And one thing is definitely Dubai is a safe place for anyone to run, female, young, old. You can actually run safely in Dubai. And I see lots of police patrolling around Dubai and that makes me feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. When I'm usually running Alcoz, and by the way, Yasmin, I spent my teenage, from the day I was born till I was 18, I was in Dubai. So I've been that 94 to what, 2010, 13 in Dubai. And my fear always with Dubai is, I would say less about, I guess I'm like you in certain ways in that I like confusing and surprising people. And it's like, what the hell is he doing here? You know?
Yeah.
Like why? But it's more the cars. So I think in the US, I could probably trust that a car will slow down or move to the other lane if I have to run on the road itself. But in Dubai, and specifically in Alcoz, you just see trucks and vans backing in and out of God knows which road with no regard for people that are walking on it. So that is more of my concern. So that's also like a big aspect of safety that people don't think about, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And Alcoz developed into so many more neighborhoods that look like Alcoz, are less gentrified than Alcoz. My God, I've been to Jabal Ali Industrial. I've been to Ras Al Khor Industrial. Where else? There are some really, really industrial Qusais. Umramul. And there are so many of these entrepot cities, literally entrepots, and with its adjacent labor accommodations, and full of them. And I've done them and continue to do them. There are still more left. So, by the way, that's one of the biggest challenges. I mean, Dubai tends to be segregated by residential, commercial, industrial. So then when I go into industrial, it's purely industrial. And that's no fun, but it has lots of interesting things to see. So as an example, something interesting is trucks. Trucks are decorated in Dubai. So I take lots of pictures of decorated trucks. That's an example. Or, you know, I see what else is there. I mean, just all the small tea shops that grow in these places. I actually stop in those tea shops and I order my karak and I order whatever is available to eat there. And for like less than 4 dirhams, you know, which is really a nice experience.
Yeah. I want to highlight that point you made, because what I try to reinforce to people is that running isn't just training. Running is exploring. And a big part of whenever I visit a city, and I'm in New York this weekend, you just do a long run. But so what I did is I want to hit up like 4 or 5 different bakeries in all the different boroughs I'm running.
Yeah, that's so true.
And I ran with my brother's a runner as well. So I ran with him. So, I mean, the run was a good run. It was a long run, but the core thing that made the it's the fun, the fun aspect of the run was rebonding with my brother and spending time with him and trying a pastry, a sweet potato coffee, a New York pizza.
That's so true.
Can I just jump in and say something very quickly? Did you just say sweet potato coffee?
I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to know a little bit more about that before we continue, because I've never ever heard of that in my life.
To be honest, I have to look into what ingredients are in that, but it's basically like a cafe latte. Yeah, it's a cafe latte, and it's bright purple in color. And they have little, like, you know, the sweet potato chips at the top. Like, it was the first time I've seen sweet potato being used as a garnish.
Wow. That's blown my mind. Honestly, I've never been to the US, and now I'm just going to see a picture of a sweet potato coffee with little purple things on
the
top.
The US is the whole continent to discover.
God. I mean, Yasmin, did you travel to the US a lot? Is there any areas in the US that you'd like to tackle or complete on a next project? We haven't spoken about what happens after this project, and we're not going to, but...
Right.
Would that be something you'd like to tackle at some point?
You know, I'm Bostonian. I lived in Boston for 10 years. Not Boston, Massachusetts for 10 years. Northampton for 3 and 7 in Boston. And I wasn't a runner. Oh, I missed out. The Boston Marathon.
I was going to say,
Boston,
have you run that?
Boston is the capital of running in the United States. I mean, everybody dreams of the Boston Marathon.
Arguably the world.
And yeah. And I missed out on, I used to see the runners in all seasons, in winter. And an amazing book is Haruki Murakami's book, What I Talk About When I Talk About Running.
You love it. I love that book. What a book.
And I read it before I was a runner, maybe a few years just before I became a runner. And while reading that book, I said, oh, I missed out, because he used to run by the Charles River and he describes it so well. I think that his experience of running has helped me experience running. Like, it has opened my senses and my imagination to more. He's inspired me in a way, because deep down it's ingrained. So I've also ran the Athens Marathon, which I recommend highly, and which he ran on his own in that book. He says he didn't run, he ran the course, the Athens Marathon course. And so, like Adnan says, running and traveling is just such a fun experience. I've ran in Vietnam because I went traveling there. I ran in South Africa because they were destination races. I've run in Switzerland. Switzerland is my other home, my second home. And I've ran mountains in Switzerland. I go trail running every summer in Switzerland. So, by the way, my app, which is City Strides, is not necessarily just city. It should be called Strides, because it actually will record everywhere I've run in the world. And so if you look at the map of Switzerland, it's got a lot, it looks like it's got chicken pox, because it's got a lot of purple spots all over Switzerland, because I just hop in a train anywhere in Switzerland and I get off and I run a mountain and I come back. One summer I did a lot of lakes. So I decided I'm going to run every single lake around them, the ones that were close to, you know, like close to home. And so I have a lot of around the lake runs and things like that. So really it's, you know, running every single street in Dubai has opened my mind to other projects, but I don't think I will ever do it in such a microscopic study, because it is just so time consuming.
Oh, I have so many things to say right now. I'm trying to pause. Firstly, you know how, I don't know, you connect with people based on shared experiences. And I love that you love the book, What I Talk About When I Talk About Running, because that, I mean, when you put all of my favorite books, that book is the first, but it's well above the second. I've read that probably at least 20.
And by the way, in two languages. I have it in French and I have it in English, because they're translations, right? But I've read it
both. Oh, allez-y, c'est trop bien ça. C'est trop bien que tu ailles en français aussi. But it's such a beautiful book, because you just don't get a well-reputed novelist writing about running. And no matter as, you know, great talkers and speakers we are, we just, there's certain articulations of what it means to run that I only was able to put into words through that book. I still remember that feeling that sticks with me, that once you're done with either a marathon or something longer than a marathon, that unique feeling of not wanting to run for a little bit. It's almost like the running blues. And I felt that so strongly. I was like, I get it, you know?
Yeah. And he's an ultra runner. So he tells us about his races in Japan, where he runs for days and days in a loop, and the way he changes sneakers and the way he, you know, all, you know, the ones who have run marathons, we've always want to throw our sneakers after and we're like, done, I'm never going to run in my life again. And then soon after we just get the bug again. Right.
Hey, it's not a bad addiction to have as far as addiction goes, you know?
Yeah.
That's an interesting point, because it does feel like that sometimes. I think it's like a positive addiction. I mean, it can have a negative, maybe. I don't know. But I remember training for a marathon, and the days that, you know, your rest days are the hardest days in the world, because all you want to do is run. And even this morning, you know, Yasmin, you were saying, because you were planning to run tonight, you were just sketchy, yeah, thinking I should be running. What's going on? My body's telling me, why aren't you running? Why aren't you running? And you're just doing it later in the day, not in the morning. But it's, I mean, the way you talk about running and, you know, being inspired by this book, I have no doubt that you've got a book in there desperate to get out as well. Can you tell us, are you planning on writing a book about your experiences? Is it something on the cards?
I'm not sure, but it's been 4 years. I'm happy I documented it in photographs and in a zillion tweets, by the way, because if my Instagram account is basic compared to my Twitter account, I have thousands of tweets and photographs, because I post every photograph on Twitter. And so I would have to go back on my data and look at it. But definitely I have a story to tell, and maybe it will inspire something else. Maybe I can condense it into something, because deep down, I don't want to write a handbook on running. And as Adnan says, that book in particular is written by a literary, like he is a Nobel Prize. He's just waiting to receive his Nobel Prize in literature. So that is a writer who runs. And I'm hoping to also to maybe be a runner who writes, in the sense that I am definitely, like, my my academic majors are in literature. So I have that sensibility, and that's maybe why also I see the things that I see while I run, that runners that are so technical and focused. You know, I've come across many runners who suggest that maybe I focus more, take less photographs, you know, stop running after butterflies in a way, because I'm always run happy versus run focused and run time. And yes, I was running a Kenyan run, and I do have a program to follow, but I am definitely, this is what makes me happy, and running. And so there is a balance that I have to do. So I do have to do my interval sessions, and I do have to do my long runs where I'm pushing past those 10Ks into 12, 13, 21, whatever it is that I have to do. There should be a balance. And I think that is my hardest thing, is to focus, because if I didn't focus, then I wouldn't have the stamina to go and run and have a good time. So those legs need physical workouts. I need structure in my life. So I have a coach. I have a run coach who actually makes sure, who sends me training peaks and makes sure that I, and then I select the fact that, for example, so I went running in Dubai South. And I thought, wow, this, I fell in love with Dubai South, because I found it was a quiet neighborhood with very little cars. And I was like, perfect. All my interval sessions, I'll do them there. So some people go and they decide to run their interval sessions on the beach because it's on a track, or they'll go to Sports City and they'll run in circles. I used to do that. And if you look at my map, it's super dense, and it's purple, 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 because I've done loops and loops and loops on one track, you know. But then I looked at Dubai South, and I said, perfect. You know, there's less traffic there. I can actually go and do four times, 800 meter times five sets, you know, where I can actually focus more and concentrate, and I don't have to look out for traffic, or I'm not so impressed by camels or things that I encounter. You know, it's actually somewhere I can focus. So there is really, I sometimes have to limit my imagination and focus and run in a structured way. That's my challenge.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think both, I definitely feel that, because I'm still in that competition and race mode most often. But it's funny, I heard this quote through an Instagram soundtrack, but it stuck with me. It's like, so why are you doing this? To be happy? Oh, to what end? To enjoy myself? But what are you hoping to achieve? To say that I lived life on my terms. But what, is there a goal in mind? Having a good time. So it always just comes back to you having a good time. You having a good time, maybe just finding a nice street or an industrial space, or it could mean getting a great BQ time. So ultimately, you're all aiming for the same goal, and it's just people's perception and its ability to affect you that makes you probably feel like you're focused or not focused.
But the three of us have ran marathons, and we've had marathon programs, and we've had to stick to those programs, and we've had to train for the marathon. Otherwise, you just don't complete the 42. And so what I was trying to say was that if I want to continue to enjoy my running, I actually have to have structure, and I have to sleep, and I have to eat properly, and I have to make sure that I, you know, I hydrate and I rest and recover and everything that goes with it, but also that I do those painful 200 meter repeats or the 4 mile challenges or whatever it is that I'm doing. And in a way, when before I was on this project, I think I've counted 11 marathons that I've accomplished without counting my ultras in South Africa or my trail races in Switzerland or my half marathons and all those. So I have huge bag medals that my nephews love to come and play with when they come and visit me, you know? Yeah, they're really fun. They like weigh a ton, and I'm proud because I bring them out, and I'm like, look, this one I ran in Maidan, and it was only 10K, but it was such a difficult one. You know, 10Ks are harder than 21Ks because they're so intense. I never ran 5Ks. 5Ks are the hardest races, by the way, because you have to be so fast, right? But yeah. I always said when I used to run those, while I was running my marathon, I was like, come on, honor your training. You know, you don't want to finish this marathon, but you've trained for it for 6 months. Or if I had to wake up on that morning after I had a birthday party, I attended a birthday party or went out at night or whatever, I'm like, come on, you have to wake up. You have a marathon in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks. You have to train. You know, people are like, when I go out partying with people, they're like, oh, you don't have to wake up tomorrow. Just stay on. And I'm like, no. I have a running schedule. If I miss my Monday run, then my Tuesday rest becomes my Wednesday. And yes, you know, you have to be flexible and you have to accommodate family, friends, fun and everything. But that run is necessary. So me leaving the party an hour before because I have to wake up at 5 a.m. is part of discipline. So there is discipline and there is fun. And you cannot have fun if you don't have that discipline.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's so many things there you said, Yasmin, which I could totally relate to. And going back to the marathon journey, I think we've all shared, and I can really relate to. And I'm a bit like you. I'm a run happy guy. I love to run. It makes me happy. I love to spread that to other people to inspire them to run as well. But I think some of the most memorable runs that I think I've ever had was sticking to training plans for a London Marathon in the UK, freezing cold temperatures, running in knee deep snow, 17 miles at night, late after work when I have to fit it in. And I've got a newborn son who's 3 or 4 weeks old, so I'm not sleeping. And I remember some of those runs where I'm getting to the end and I force myself to do it. I force myself to finish. And I've got to a point where I'm the last 500 or so meters, like half a kilometer, and I've broken into tears, and it's like happy tears but sad tears as well. And it's like feeling the pain but also knowing why I'm doing it. And you know, it's the journey you're on, it becomes the lifestyle. And I think some of those most painful runs I've experienced are some of the most, like you said, memorable. And it even to a point where I got to the end of the finish line when I did the London Marathon. And I crossed the line and I just felt slightly empty in a weird way. And I think I've spoken about this before, that I've crossed the line. I thought that was the point that I reached. That I thought, yes, I've done it. But I just look back on what I achieved with these training runs. And it just made me well up and think, man, I've just achieved this. And now this is like the beginning of the next run. It's not the end. It's the beginning of the next one. And that's something you must feel so much as well. But another thing I want to go back to and ask you this question is, the little girl, Yasmin at 10 or 12,
okay.
How do you think she would feel knowing the person that you've become? Do you think you've made her proud?
Okay, that little girl, the only thing I have in common with that little girl is I'm still dreaming. I used to sit in class and look out the window all day, every day of class, literally. I think I did most of my studying at home when I came back because I was always looking out the window dreaming. And I think that lack of focus is what remains. And I I was a swimmer in the day. So I was a good swimmer, but I couldn't run 500 meters. And it came late in life. You guys are young. You're lucky. Like, you know, when I said I regretted that I didn't run in Boston, you guys are doing it right now. So you've got a longer career. Whereas I started running when I was 40. So that's the difference between me at 10 in Dubai and also a super emotional run was when I ran past my old house in Dubai.
Wow.
Oh my God. Wow. When I arrived next to, it's behind what we call the old zoo, because now people don't even know that old zoo doesn't exist anymore. It's in Jumeirah One.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I haven't been and I haven't shown my kids, but running in that neighborhood, running past the gate and stopping for that picture, literally crying, sobbing in disbelief that it's not just what Dubai has become, but what I have achieved as a runner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all my achievements, and there, here, right in front of this garden where I lived for 10 years, my childhood, you know. And my school was in Sharjah, so I haven't ran there yet.
that's incredible. It's I felt the same thing when, so initially when I started running was, when I started really enjoying running was in 2016, when I was interning in downtown Atlanta with a company. And I still remember it was literally every day after work, because everyone was out for the summer and I didn't really have that many friends in Atlanta yet. I just run the same 6.5 mile 10K route through the city. And that was the 3 months where I did it essentially regularly. And I discovered, even after 4 years of being in Atlanta for college, that is actually when I discovered the city through running the downtown roads. And I still remember telling my friends driving through that now is, I feel this emotionalness well up inside me as I drive through those streets. And I think about like the blood, the sweat, the tears, and the discovery that I had felt every time I go through there. So, and it's great to hear that like there's people that feel the same way, obviously different experiences, but it's just hard to get to those emotions. And I mean, that's also why I recommend people to do a full marathon, because there's certain emotions and mental spaces that are very hard to take yourself to in normal life experience or through normal life experience.
So here are my recommendations. One, since you live in Atlanta, have you looked at running every single street in Atlanta? Or how about you in Dubai? Have you considered running every single street in Dubai? Why am I the only one? You know, by the way, there are a few who have run Atlanta. Go onto Twitter, because I don't know if or on Instagram, hashtag every single street Atlanta, and you'll find out who has ran. Because you know, this is a trend, this is a world trend.
Yeah,
it's happening in Australia, it's happening in Argentina, it's happening in Iceland, it's happening in Tokyo, it's happening everywhere. People are running every single street. City Strides has 50,000 members. People attempting and people who are running villages and people who are running towns, smaller people who are biking them, people who are walking. Consider. I say the first step is, if you think your lifestyle, your work, your children won't allow you to do that now, well, then do your neighborhood. Do every single street in your neighborhood. Maybe that's a good start. And then you get kind of addicted to it, because think that I mean, besides going back to places and connecting streets, I don't run the same street twice. I'm always running somewhere new. You know, people are like, oh, it's so boring to run in Dubai. I would rather run in Central Central Park, New York, or I would rather run in Rome. But I run a different landscape every time I go running because I run every single street. And another thing, since we're talking about encouraging people to run a marathon, since you both are marathon runners, the next goal should be an ultra marathon because the training for an ultra marathon is very different. I ran Comrades in South Africa. Mm. And I would wake up and run a half marathon distance for 5 days in a row so I could get my 100K done in a week. That volume. Now, I wasn't running every single street I wished because I would have finished. You know, like now I run 10K at a time. But, you know, your body becomes used to running longer lengths because I used to take pictures of 1, 2, 5. I'm running 5, my 5th half marathon this week. I mean, I don't remember last time I ran a half marathon distance recently, you know? So that's what I recommend.
Oh, at least personally on my end, I know it's going to happen. I already know it's going to happen. And some people are like, no, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to yourself? But again, like I said, it's a good addiction.
Yeah, people in South Africa run Comrades yearly. I run it once in a lifetime and I'm happy. So you guys, you're fit now. You're young now. Go do it. Really, consider it.
The exciting thing, and I think, Dan, you probably relate to this incredibly, is it's less about the actual run that is the most memorable experience. It's the training. It's the people you meet and the experiences you have during training. And the people that are inspired by you.
I think,
the
quote, believe you can and you're halfway there. I think it's all about having the belief in yourself. I think we're all capable of being superhuman in one way or another. However, it's not possible for everyone. I remember there was a time where, I was diagnosed with a disease, stomach condition. And the consultant said to me, I talked about running and she said, you're not going to be able to, you know, run long in distances anymore. It's not ideal. I couldn't accept that. And I thought, okay, then that's a challenge to myself. Let's sign up for a marathon. And I'd signed up for the London Marathon and 6 months later, I completed it. So for me, I feel like I've been on a journey to heal myself now. And I feel like I am healed, but I now believe I can do an ultra marathon. That's my next goal as well at some point. And I believe I can do it. What I do want to say, Yasmin, is I would love to be in a room surrounded by you and every other person that's running their own street in their own city in the world. And I would love to see the energy that you guys bring, because I think you're incredibly inspiring to so many. You're an aspiration to any runner or non-runner out there. The more people that hear your story, the better. And likewise for everyone else, you know, that's completing this challenge around the world. So I just want to say thank you. Because it is hugely inspiring. And I'm very fortunate that we're going to get to run tonight in Damak Hills 2 with the local runners of the club. They're going to get to hear your story. So I'm excited for that as well. I Adnan, do you want to leave with one last question?
Yeah, sure. So Yasmin, this is sort of a darker question, but I think it has a positive undertone. What would you want to have written on your gravestone?
That's a tough one. Well, I guess it's a tough one because we don't have gravestones in my religion. Mm-hmm. To live in the present. To live in the moment. To enjoy the place you are, where you are at that time. I always say I wish for more of the same. But by more of the same, it's my own responsibility to put variety. And I have put variety in more of the same. You know, I've lived most of my life in Dubai. And I think that in parallel to Dubai, my own personality has developed the way Dubai has. in this crazy fashion that nobody believes in a way. I think that's the message I would give.
I love that. And Yasmin, let me say, I'm just so excited already to put this podcast out because one, you bring an incredible energy. I think both Dan and I vibe with it so well. And it's just like a topic that we all relate to in such a good way. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It was really fun to talk to two fellow runners who know Dubai so and like Dubai as much as I do. And, you know, in a way, if I'm running for a cause, it's I'm running for my Emirates, literally. Just that.
Yeah.
Simple.
Well, remember that you at a minimum have two avid runners looking at you and being inspired by you every day.
Thank you. And I hope I inspire you to look at to go get a City Stride account and just connect it to your Strava or Garmin. And then maybe that those purple streets will encourage you to run and complete some neighborhoods and, you know, run around some lakes or something.
Yes, yes.
Purple streaks to illuminate community and inspire everyone to do the same. Love it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Leave us a review. Tell us what you think. Find us at Instagram, failforward.pod. If you know someone that wants to be on the show or if you want to be on the show, give us a shout, DM us. We'll see you soon.